This is Wits. I'm John Moe. A great show for you this week. Comedy, music, surprises, and some terrific guests.
John, I have a big problem, and you need to solve it.
Oh, hey, Michael. It's Michael Ian Black, everyone. He's on the show this week. He's a comedian, author, actor.
Disgruntled guest.
What's wrong?
It's my trailer. Look, John, I'm a pretty big star, and the trailer you gave me is way too small. I cannot work in these circumstances.
Michael, we didn't give you a trailer.
No, it's the white one. It's the one that's as small as a minivan.
Michael, I think you just got in someone's minivan outside the theater.
Oh, all right. Well, at least they had juice boxes.
Hey, John, I've got a problem.
Oh, AC Newman, our musical guest this week. What's up?
Yeah, I parked my minivan outside, but someone broke in and drank all my juice boxes. I cannot work under these conditions.
Okay, I think I can work this out. Let's go backstage and get ready. I'll get us some new juice boxes.
Oh, okay.
All right, much more to come on Wits, and it's coming right up. From APM, American Public Media, and Minnesota Public Radio, this is Wits. I'm John Moe. And I can make your life better through deviant behavior. You see, a while back, the world installed internet. Have you seen internet? It's full of web pages. And they all shout at you all the time about things that have happened, are about to happen, may happen, or could never happen, but wow, what if they could happen? And the shouts are getting louder as more people get computers full of internet in their pockets that they carry around. And soon it will be watches and glasses all packed with shouting internet. Now, some of the things that the internet shouts could be important: government policies that affect your life, climate change, maybe even a movie that you really want to see that you'd really enjoy. But most of it is dumb, meaningless, dumbness about a celebrity who's famous for no good reason doing a dumb thing with dummies. And why does internet shout about that? Because internet always needs to shout about something, because shouting is what internet does. And internet doesn't just want you to know about the thing. It wants you to join in the shouting. On Twitter, on Facebook, Reddit, all over. Yeah, you can talk on these sites, and you can even whisper, but there are plenty of chances to shout. Now, did I not promise you deviant behavior? Oh, yes, dear radio listener, podcast listener, Fitzgerald Theater seat sitter inner. Here's what you do. Don't care. Not about everything, but about a lot of things. There are people, I am told, called Kardashians, and I actively, flamboyantly do not care what they are or what they do. And every time I allow myself to not care about them, it's like a little present that I give myself. A bonbon of disregard that is actually good for me. If an actress gets arrested and tries to get out of it by using the admittedly charmingly oblivious "don't you know who I am" defense, we don't all need to have an opinion about that. If Justin Bieber has something weird on his tour bus in Sweden, it doesn't have to matter. Already way more people have an opinion about it than need to, so you, friend, are off the hook. I've been trying this myself, and it is decadently wonderful. It's like going to a brain spa. And I'd like to report that it gives me more time to focus on truly important issues in the world, but I mostly use the brain space to play video games or stare blankly into space. So everyone wins. We have a great show tonight. The deeply funny Michael Ian Black is here, and singer, songwriter, initial user AC Newman as well. Our acting company, Bill Corbett, Katie McEwen, and Peter Cowan. Please welcome Michael Ian Black.
Dad, I'm leaving. Back by midnight.
Hold on there, Ben. Before you go, we need to talk.
Dad, the dance starts at 9. I made reservations at Applebee's for like 10 minutes from now. Can it wait?
No, son, it can't. Now, you've been seeing a lot of this girl, Claire, and it's time you learned about the birds and the bees.
Dad, I'm 16. I've taken health class. I know what's up.
I'm afraid you don't know what is up. You see, your health class isn't telling you the truth about how babies are actually made.
Okay, how?
Storks.
Storks? Like the bird?
Like the bird, yes. But these storks are larger, more powerful, and more horrifying.
I don't think that's true.
You see, Sport, when a man and a woman love each other very much, one of these huge, horrifying birds lays an egg in its nest that contains a human fetus. No one knows how.
That is crazy.
Crazier than a human being coming out of another human being? No, you came from an egg. Get serious. So once the baby hatches, screaming, out of the egg, the stork flies over the home of an unsuspecting couple and drops that baby from 200 feet in the air right into the chimney.
Well, what about the uterus?
Ugh.
The fallopian tubes?
Ah.
The zygote?
Oh, enough! Gross! You're gonna make me barf! People don't have sex. That's disgusting. I can't even imagine getting your mom's sweat on me.
Ben, honey, what are you still doing here? I thought you were taking Claire to the dance.
Deb's trying to tell me that babies come from storks. He's making me late, and I'm not going to get any of Applebee's famous appetizers.
Well, are you giving him the talk now, Harold? You know he loves his teasers.
Teasers be damned. It's time he knows. Now, I've seen the way he looks at Claire. Storks pick up on that. They have hormone receptors in their bills.
Well, yes, that's right. But Ben, honey, you are 16. It's time to let go of the women give birth story.
But why would the school tell such an elaborate lie about reproduction?
Because, Ben, the government doesn't want to scare you. See, back in WW2, the storks refused to help us drop bombs on strategic SS locations. Roosevelt decided the storks were Nazi sympathizers.
Right, so our government tried to capture the storks and chain them up so America could control baby distribution worldwide.
As it should be.
Right.
But the storks can't be captured, son, and we just made them angry. So now they spray babies on American teenagers for revenge. Storks never forgive. They're spiteful beasts.
Oh no, it's Claire. I don't know what to think.
Ben, I've been waiting. We're missing Applebee's appetizers.
Claire, I'm sorry. My parents are trying to tell me that we're at war with a bunch of birds who are dropping babies on us. That's crazy, right?
Are you just now getting the stork talk? Jeez, Ben, you're 16. Get serious.
That's what I said.
Oh, God! Oh, no! It's the storks! They can smell affection and pheromones! Honey, they're attracted to your optimistic hope for the future! Quick, Harold, board up the chimney!
I'm trying! It's too late! Triplets. Typical stork warfare. Well, I guess we're grandparents.
This message brought to you by the American Council to Prevent Teen Pregnancy and the Association of Chimney Board Manufacturers. Ever hear of a show called Wits? You're listening to it right now. I'm John Moe. Michael Ian Black is a veteran of the iconic MTV series The State. You may remember him from the $240 worth of pudding sketch. He was a regular on the show Ed. He does stand-up around the country. He's the co-host of the upcoming show Trust Me, I'm a Game Show Host. He's written kids' books, movies. He's a New York Times best-selling author. His latest book is You're Not Doing It Right. Please welcome Michael Ian Black.
Hello.
When you look back at the State and these other things, is there a project that you're most proud of?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, they've all failed. Commercially, you know, you put them on the air and you think, oh, well, we finally found the sweet spot that America's just going to hug away. And as it turns out, no.
It's never the sweet spot.
Not yet.
Do you go into some of them? Do you go into some of them like, we're going to just have so much fun until this inevitably gets killed because we know it will? Or
no,
some of the...
I don't go into it thinking, oh, this I'm going to create a totally obscure cult favorite that people will discover on Netflix in 6 years. That is never my intention.
I want to do a deep dive into Michael Ian Black's earlier stuff, hipsters.
Okay.
I want to get a brief recap of what these things were. The Pets.com sock puppet, that voice was you. What was that like?
For a minute in like 1999, 2000, it was like the most popular commercial mascot. It was a sock that I wore on my hand, and then he kind of talked like this. And we did like a Super Bowl commercial. God, I'm making myself throw up. And then the company just went right down the toilet.
Yeah.
About 6 months after I started doing their commercials.
That Midas touch. Did you get famous for that? I mean,
did people know that was you? No, but I mean, I was on like Good Morning America a bunch as the sock puppet. And like Diane Sawyer and I would flirt as the sock puppet.
Were you like hidden behind a couch or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's literally what it was. There was a couch. I was behind it. And I was sort of like flirting with Diane Sawyer. I mean, in retrospect, it sounds weird.
I have to ask you about, and this is one of my favorite movies ever, 2001, Wet Hot American Summer.
That's another one of those things where we were making it and we're like, oh, everybody will love this. It's like Meatball for pervs. But again, like it came out and immediately left the theaters. And then, you know, a few years later, like it started to find a real audience. And my role is fairly small in the film, but it's best remembered for a lovemaking scene I had with People's Sexiest Man Alive, Bradley Cooper, in his first movie role. And I really gave it to him.
Yes. What I remember about that movie is it took place at a summer camp, but it was always like gray and dark and kind of murky.
Well, yeah, because it was it all takes place on one day in August, the last day of camp, and it's supposed to be sunny, but it we shot it in April maybe, and it rained every single day that we were shooting, and so in a lot of the scenes you can see that there's just water coming down sort of inexplicably. And then when, you know, on one person's face, and then when the camera reverses, it's not coming down on the other person's face.
It kind of works.
It's very charming.
I was reading your most recent book, and how struck were you when you had kids and started feeling like, or maybe realizing, that kids sometimes are just jerks like anybody else? That seems like that was a real blow to you.
I know you're not talking about my children.
Well, now I'm talking about you talking about your children.
Oh, yeah, I thought they were jerks.
Yeah.
Oh, they were terrible, terrible, awful children because they were colicky. Mm. Colic is just sort of a catch-all phrase, and it just means they never stop complaining about everything.
Well, your kids are older now. They're what, like 12, 10 years old?
I don't know.
Something. Have they read your book about how horrible they were and how much you disliked them?
No, but we tell them.
That's important with parenting, is to always remind your kids how much you dislike them.
No, they're it's great now. I mean, now it's great. They're 12 and 9, almost 10, and you know, they can do things all by themselves, which means we don't have to do things with them, and it's great.
Yeah. I'm John Moe, and this is Wits. More with Michael Ian Black in just a moment.
This is Wits. I'm John Moe talking to actor, comic, author Michael Ian Black. Popular culture is filled with familiar multi-character franchises. He-Man had Skeletor, Man-at-Arms, Beast Man, I remember. But we tend to only see the ones that made the cut. We don't so much see the ones that are forgotten. The Wits History Foundation has conducted exhaustive research and is proud this week to feature those who did not make the cut. 1932, W.K. Kellogg holds auditions among the gnome community to find mascots for Rice Krispies cereal.
First, I want to ask Snap, Crackle, and Pop to please come see my secretary. The following gnomes, however, are not needed. Whoosh. Sorry. Not what our cereal needs. Gurgle. Same story. High-pitched whine, where are you? Oh, I hear you. No, just no way. Old man scream. That would be awful for a cereal. Same with persistent clicking. Grind. And implosion. Sorry, fellas. As for you, muffled cry for help, I can only wish you luck. All right, that's it, everyone.
A.C. Newman is a power pop powerhouse. He's the main vocalist of the New Pornographers and a successful solo artist. His latest album is Shut Down the Streets. Here's A.C. Newman.
Hey, everybody.
They tend to fly away, and rescue teams will look for days. I like the way things are. I say abandon the search for an author of small work. And until then, until there's reason, think I've a shot at redemption. Until then, I'm not talking. Yes, but remember this. It's always been a long shadow works for an author of small work. I don't mean to weigh things down with fortune telling, let's just see. When it all comes true, we'll see. And until then, until there's reason, a shot at redemption. Until then, I'm not talking. No, I've never been close. I thought you should know. No, I've never been close. I want you to know. No, I've never been close, I've never been close, but I've never been far away. No, I've never been close, I've never been close, but I've never been far away. I like the way things are. I say abandon the search for an author of small work. And until then, until there's reason to think I've a shot at a redemption. Until then, I'm not talking.
A.C. Newman with John Munson and the Witnesses. A.C. Newman, welcome to WITS.
Thanks.
Your name is Carl. It's totally Carl. Why do you go by A.C. when you're totally, totally Carl?
I just thought it was cool. You know, Carl Newman's that little red-haired kid that used to get picked on, but A.C. Newman's, you know, a rock star. You know.
It's got like...
He's not a rock star, but he thinks he is.
I've been listening to Shut Down the Streets, your record, a lot, and I love it so much.
Thanks.
What's this record about?
It's actually very... This is a comedy show, but it's a very sad record.
Yeah?
You know, a lot of stuff happened. My mom died, but at the same time, my son was born, so there was that trying to reconcile incredible sadness and incredible joy, so... It was really one of those records. It was very sort of self-indulgent, and then I just made it. I thought, I don't care.
Yeah.
If anybody buys this, I'm making this for myself.
I've seen you say that you have always loved music that other people think is cheesy.
Yeah.
What kind of music are we talking about?
You know, there's an album by Richard Harris called "And the Yard Went On Forever."
Richard Harris, the actor?
Yeah. Well, you know, he had a huge hit with MacArthur Park. You know, "Someone Left a Cake Out in the Rain." And it was written by Jimmy Webb, who's one of my all-time favorite songwriters. And then the follow-up album was this massive flop because MacArthur Park was this number one hit. So they just let them do whatever they wanted to. And they made this bizarro, easy-listening, psychedelic album, which on first listen, I thought, this is terrible. But then after a while, I thought, no, it's just brilliant. In fact, the album ends with Richard Harris singing, damn you and your dirty jokes. And
he's mad about dirty jokes.
It sounds funny and it sounds kind of awful, but eventually I had to give it a standing ovation. Like that takes guts.
Well,
to sing that, to write that. It's the same way I feel about Meatloaf, Battle to Hell. Like, that album took guts to write.
I always wonder this. I have this argument with my wife a lot because she likes music that I find just ridiculous, and I can't figure out, do you like it because it's awful, or do you find something great in it that I'm not seeing?
I just think it's good, you know? And I think, I love the Monkees. I know they were manufactured, but I just think they were an awesome band. They had the best people writing for them. They had the best producers. They were all good singers. They had Mike Nesmith, who was a genius. You know, it's just the music I loved. Like, I think I got to about the age of 16, and then I realized the coolest thing you could do was just, like, not give a crap what anybody else thinks and just listen to what you want to listen to, you know?
Yeah. Well, A.C. Newman, thank you so much for being here. A.C. Newman, everybody. This is WITS. I'm John Moe, the host of WITS. Support for WITS comes from Gluffins, the gluten-free muffins that taste as good as regular muffins. The secret ingredient is gluten. And from dogs driving cars. What are you doing, dogs? Get out of those cars. You're going to hurt someone. We got additional support from Hemingway Pizza, the pizzeria modeled after the work of Ernest Hemingway. Try toppings like marlin, bull, cigar, whiskey, and remorse. You can pick up the phone, get a pizza. Someone will bring it to you. It will be good. It will remind you of a woman you saw long ago. You will never meet her again. And try our new crazy bread with extreme dipping sauce. Support for WITS comes from that person in your office who prints something and then just leaves it on the printer for hours, maybe days. Maybe they never pick it up because who is this sorcerer? Also from Macklemore, who's happy to announce his new Ray Charles cover, "Hit the Road, Jacklemore, Don't You Come Backlemore, No Macklemore, No Macklemore, No Macklemore, No Macklemore." And Ryan Lewis. As a public radio host, I am not legally allowed to own a television, but I gather that while some TV shows last for years and some for only an episode, all are eventually canceled. With that, this week's WITS game show, Why the Axe Came Down. Michael Ian Black, veteran of many canceled TV shows.
I will give you
the name of a TV show. You explain what it was and why the plug was pulled.
Sure.
A.C. Newman, you will play the opening theme song to the show. I will award a winner between the two of you after each round in a capricious and unfair manner. All right. Michael Ian Black, you will go first. Please give us what it was and why it was canceled. Who wants to live in that old shed?
It was a great concept, and the executives were really excited about it when they found that shed out in Reno. Tetanus did it in.
Who got tetanus and why and how?
All the contestants got tetanus. Because they had to run their hands on rusty nails. That was the first challenge on the first day. Run your hands over these rusty nails. Whoops. Tetanus. Yeah.
Went downhill from there. A.C. Newman, please give us the opening theme to Who Wants to Live in That Old Shed?
Okay.
Who wants to live in that old shed? You'll die of tetanus. You'll surely die of tetanus in that old shed. That old shed. In that old shed. You'll die of tetanus in that old shed.
It seems like...
They should have seen it coming, right?
Yeah, it seems like they should have seen it coming once they heard that theme song.
They must have.
They should have called it Who Wants to Live with Tetanus.
Yeah. Those poor contestants, as soon as that show started, they're like, oh,
see,
boy.
That would have been better.
We're going down in flames. That round goes to A.C. Newman. Who will start this next one, the next round, Mr. Nebulous.
Mr. Nebulous? Is that you? No, I don't think it is. Mr. Nebulous, I don't know where we stand. I try to grab you, but I don't know if you even exist. Mr. Nebulous, Mr. Nebulous.
Wow. Boy, that's I'm setting my DVR right now. Michael, he threw down right there. Please give us a synopsis and reason for cancellation for Mr. Nebulous.
Well, in the mid-90s, on the heels of the success of Seinfeld, the show about nothing, executives at a rival network decided to take the concept even further, in which the show would not only have no plot, but no identifiable characters. So in addition to Mr. Nebulous, there was his love interest, Who's That Lady? His cranky best friend, What's His Name? And the oddball neighbor, Kramer.
It seems like...
Hey, I think you won that one.
It seems like a winning formula. Why did it go off the air?
Because nobody knew when it was on.
Michael Ian Black, your reason fills me with existential dread, so you win the round. A.C. Newman, the name of this show, Michael Ian Black, Frontier Dentist.
Okay. Let's see.
Well, he came out west with a drink. I just remember the theme song so
that's
well.
That's the bridge. You're singing the bridge.
You know, I'll give you each a point if you can pull this off. If you lay down the guitar part and you lay down the vocal, each get a
point.
No,
that's not how it works. Oh, okay, just wait. Just wait till your part, okay. I'll cue you.
All right. Well, he came out west with a dream in his heart and a bone
Michael.
To pick and chew. But they didn't want him in Dodge City because he was a Jew.
Don't let him touch your teeth. He will destroy them. He will destroy them. Michael Ian Black, Frontier Dentist.
Pretty good. But, Michael, why was that show canceled?
Because in the Old West, of course, dentists also had to perform oral surgery, and I insisted that I do my own surgering.
Oh.
And TV Verite.
It was TV Verite. It was totally experimental. And there was a huge lawsuit because I ripped out a guy's tongue. We just couldn't get insured after that. The ratings were great.
Is the winner A.C. Newman? Or is the winner Michael Ian Black? Michael Ian Black is the winner of the Wits Game Show. Once again, those who did not make the cut. 1977, French composer Jacques Morali conducts a widespread search for singer-performers to form a disco group that would become known as the Village People.
Where is my assistant? Jean-Paul, can you help me here?
Ici, oui, yeah, help you, yes.
Thank you, Jean-Paul.
You're welcome.
The following will not be needed for the next round of auditions for the Village People. The podiatrist.
Merci, podiatrist.
Merci beaucoup, but...
Merci beaucoup.
It was too much with the stinky feet.
It was too many feet.
It was too much.
Aussi, your friend, the podiatrist who is legally prevented from practicing podiatry.
The VP of marketing?
I did not understand
that. It was a little, how do you say, nebulous?
It was cerebral. What else here? Oh, the possum. No.
We loved it.
We loved it.
We liked how you played dead.
Oh, adorable.
But...
No.
Ultimately, you're vermin.
You're vermin. You creep people out. You go to a disco, no one wants to be scared of, oh, there's a little wretched animal. No.
I thought maybe you had rabies.
The dance moves, no.
Also, we will not be needing the carny.
No.
Or the toothbrush.
Oh, instructive. Good for children.
So great for children. And when we do the village children...
The village children people.
We will call you back.
It takes the village people to raise the children. The self-loathing telemarketer... It's a no. It's just a no.
Was just bumming people out.
Oh. Make better career choices.
And finally, the lady.
The lady? How did you even get into the audition?
No, this isn't for ladies. It's the village people.
The village people.
Not ladies.
It's 1977 and we are French. This is all we know.
Okay, so construction worker, Indian chief, cop,
yes,
cowboy, and leather guy, huddle up.
I'm John Moe, and this is Wits. More with Michael Ian Black and A.C. Newman in just a moment. This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with Michael Ian Black and A.C. Newman.
Madman, madman, the madman shows on. Here come the madmen, drinking booze in their hands.
All you other madmens, come into my office. I have a problem with my brain feelings. Oh, hello, Robert Sturming.
Dan Drample, I smirk at you.
Robert, you know me best because you are fake dad of me. I'm messed up by wrong sex having. Is it possible some actions have negative consequences?
Oh, Dom. Have some brown drink. You are handsome in suit clothes and hair, and we are important. Here comes young Pet Clampo. He wants to be important, too.
So I act like important men and have wrong sex. I want things to have.
Oh, us men. Let's put cigarettes in our faces. We'll never die, I bet.
Mad Men's, we don't have time for this. We have an important talking-to meeting with a business-having man who might put money on us to come up with words and pictures to sell objects.
Right. I'm Dang Drupal. I can do that all the times. Nothing changes here in the 60s.
Sorry to interrupt the audience. It's me, Peggy Olmenchen. I don't work at the Mad Men Idea Factory anymore.
Peggy, are you in a different scene away from us?
Yes.
But I built you.
Now I become Don Drample on my own in another idea factory.
Oh, sadness.
I love and hate you, dad, brother, husband. My perkiness is made of steel. Now, back to your own scene.
Where were we?
The businessman coming in now is the boss of products for the now times. Here he comes.
Hello, Mad Men's.
Hello, client.
I need advertisements for long hairs and for marijuana cigarettes and pretty soon Woodstock and boys who look like girls. I will now say the word groovy. Groovy.
I got it. How about ads that are like ads how things used to be? That way we're all young and important and Pent Campbell here can't kill us and eat us.
Ha ha, I want to do those things before my nervous breakdown.
Yes, yes, yes. We'll make old-fashioned ads. Now someone get Joan to pour us brown drinks. Even though she is better than us, I enjoy her breasts.
Your ideas aren't good enough, Mad Men's.
What?
I need new ads. The world is changing things, and you're not as much. I'll go have Peggy Olmenchen fry up ideas instead. Peace.
Wait, client, come back!
Ow, my soul. I better run off and have wrong sex. Oh, no! Here comes Mergen, my wife now.
I was in our big, sad apartment, and then I went to television show you don't grasp, and now I'm here. What will you do with me? Also, the Beatles.
Hey, I had a new wife once, and I got sadder.
Our show is a carousel. People show up and ride around on it, and it doesn't get them anywhere.
I don't understand. I pretend act like an older lady, and we pretend you're not an older man, and everything is all mixed up. Zooby, zooby, zoo.
How about this, Mad Men's? Let's make ourselves into clients and pay us a lot. We'll love us.
Yes, then we'll always matter. To us, let's stick cigarettes in our faces and wear suits and don't ever look at the world, okay?
And I will keep being quietly sad.
Of course. To our new client, the Mad Men Show.
The Mad Men Show.
Pop song correspondences. Notes passed between Bob Dylan and Mr. Tambourine Man.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy and there is no place I'm going to. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. In the jingle jangle morning, I'll come following you.
Hey, Mr. Dylan. Jeff, Mr. Tambourine Man Matthews here. Hi. So excited to be in your band. Thing is, it's kind of difficult to play a song on just a tambourine. You can't play notes on it. It's just... But I'll try. As for you coming to follow me, like, literally?
Take me on a trip upon your magic swirling ship. My senses have been stripped. My hands can't feel to grip. My toes too numb to step. Wait only for my boot heels to be wandering.
Hi, Mr. Dillon. Good to hear from you again. I'm sorry, you want to go out on my boat? I mean, we could go fishing if you want to, but I'd rather play music, like with the rest of the band. I wish you'd invite me to do that, because between being asked to play a song on just the tambourine, which is impossible, and playing on no other songs, I'm getting a little anxious.
And if you hear back traces of skipping reels of rhyme, do your tambourine in time. It's just a ragged clown behind. I wouldn't pay it any mind. It's just a shadow that you're seeing that he's chasing.
Look, Mr. Dillon, I know I haven't figured out how to play a song for you on the tambourine yet, but you don't have to taunt me. The ragged clown you refer to is totally you driving around in a clown costume, following me wherever I go, and that's weird, and you should stop it. You should stop teasing me, Bob Dylan. I can't even imagine what the lyrics to a tambourine song would be. I play the tambourine. Hello, hello. I'm not really a lyricist.
Yes, I dance beneath the diamond sky with one hand waving free, silhouetted by the sea, circled by the circus sands, with all memory and faith, driven deep beneath the waves. Let me forget about today until tomorrow.
Well, yes, those are very lovely lyrics, Bob Dylan. Am I supposed to use those over the jangles of my instrument? Hold on, maybe that's... Is that what you're trying to tell me with these cryptic notes? Okay, that's great. You want me to take all these notes, and there'll be a tambourine solo song called Mr. Tambourine Man on the new album. Thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Dillon.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy and there is no place I'm going to. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. In the jingle jangle morning, I'll come following you.
Mr. Dillon, I'm gonna try not to cry, but I stopped by the studio this morning to see once again if I could play on any songs. And I got there just in time to hear the final version of the song you call Mr. Tambourine Man, which is a song that does not feature, I noticed, any tambourine. I quit, Bob Dylan, and you can go straight to jingle jangle hell, Jeff. The radio show coming into your ear holes is Wits. I'm John Moe. Michael, I understand that congratulations are in order. I think we can... Can we go ahead? I mean, it's on
the internet
already.
I wasn't going to mention anything, but thank you, John.
Yeah,
yes.
You've landed a role on a pretty big show. It's a pretty big deal.
Yes, I am joining the cast of Cop Squadron.
Wow. Well...
Thanks.
I love that show. It's so well done.
Oh, it's incredibly well done.
Yeah.
I'm playing a cop named Stephen Chambliss.
Oh, nice.
It's a new character.
Cool.
And I actually brought a clip.
Oh, well, let's roll it.
Cop squadron, squadron cops, doing the job, down at the shop, cop squadron.
Okay, rookie. This is just a routine speed trap. You hold this.
I'm sorry, I feel like I have to interrupt you.
You just did.
I know. I've been thinking about it, and I think rookie is a pejorative term. It implies I'm not as experienced as someone who is, I don't know what you'd call it, not a rookie. It's not even a word for it.
Policeman.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not an implication so much as a reflection of the circumstances.
But it's not apt, because I have had life experience. That factors in, right? It must. And my time training in Cop Squadron?
Want to take that line again, Chambliss?
Sure, Chief. And my time training in Cop Squadron Junior College?
I hear you pretty much wised off and engaged in a snobs versus slobs type adversarial relationship with your instructors there.
Well, they were snobs.
I would be surprised to learn that instructors at Cop Squadron Junior College are snobs.
Then I hope you like surprises. Me and my friend, who made a lot of sound effects noises, but with his mouth, found nearly everyone was either a slob like us or a snob like them.
Well, I'm neither.
You know what my friend would say about that?
What would he say?
Well, he wouldn't say a thing so much as make a sound effect with his mouth, like a cartoon dog shaking his head in confusion.
Well, I'm tidy, so I'm no slob, and I'm working class and pretty genial, so not a snob either.
You're Switzerland in the war between snobs and slobs.
I think that you'll find that a lot of people are.
I think you'll find, if you start looking, really looking, a lot of people aren't.
All right, rookie. Just pick up.
I hate to stop you again, but now I'm thinking about who I am.
Chambliss, rookie, cop, slob.
That's just it. I haven't engaged in any action against any snobs in a hot minute. Have I become complacent?
I don't think so. Since joining the squad, you've been too busy with on-the-job training, putting aside childish things, as it were.
Whoa, that's a snob thing to say.
You need to stop looking for a versus situation, Chambliss. You'll find more than enough animosity once we start giving tickets.
Let's only give them to snobs, okay? I don't know if I can give a ticket to a slob.
You can.
My convictions are very important to me.
Noted. Now pick up
Hang on. How can you just sit on the sidelines of this thing?
Because it's not my war.
Are you kidding? Or are you nuts? I have some literature here.
Did you make this pamphlet?
Get to know snobs. Excuse me?
Sir, you can't just walk up to the car.
I can and I did. What are you, a snob?
Hey, you can't talk to him that way.
Chambliss?
Merbleton? Oh my gosh, this is the guy I was telling you about, my friend from cop school.
With the sound effects.
Ding, ding, ding.
That was amazing. Sounded exactly like a bell. Do another, do the dog.
Arf, arf, grr, rough.
Oh, that's great. Hey, do a car with a broken muffler.
Struggle. Struggle to start.
Oh, boy. I keep thinking you have a tape player, even though I know you just have a mouth.
I know. Listen, pal, I was speeding up and down the street hoping to get a ticket, but you haven't pulled me over or anything.
Wait, why would you want a ticket?
Because I just knew in my bones the officer would be a snob, and then I could get into it with him. I hate snobs. Have you seen this pamphlet?
But I would have been the officer, Merbleton. Oh. I would have been the officer. Does that mean I've become a snob? Because I graduated cop school instead of failing out like you?
Yes.
Or did I become like you? Trying to pick a fight with anyone in case they're a snob.
Yes, that's what you've become.
That's not why I got into being a slob. I used to believe in everybody, and then the snobs would try and keep us down. Now I'm a slob who is a snob, the worst kind. Merbleton, I'm going to write you this ticket for speeding, which I'll take your word for that you were doing. And if you call me a snob, you'll be wrong. But I am no longer a slob either. Today, in front of who I might have been, Merbleton is who I mean. And in front of who I might, if I'm lucky, become, Officer Flint, that's you. Today, I'm just the guy I should be, right here in the world, me.
Cop squadron, cops, doing the job, down in the shop.
Cop squadron!
With yet another song, Mr. A.C. Newman.
Trick it. this young land, but it's the only bag worth packing in this town. Packing up and carrying around to your own town. Go back to your own town.
AC Newman with John Munson and the Witnesses. Wits is written by me and Ben Acker and Ben Blacker and Allison Augusty and Lauren McGuire. Our acting company included Bill Corbett, Katie McEwen, and Peter Cowan. Music director John Munson and the Witnesses, Steve Rome, Joe Savage, Richard Medick, and Janie Winterbauer. Musical guest AC Newman. And of course, Michael Ian Black. I'm John Moe. Bye now. Hi, folks. It's John Moe again. Here's a little something extra from this week's show, just for you. A special bonus musical guest with us right now. Here is Lucy Michelle.
Fall asleep, I can't stay awake. If my brain could listen to my heart, I wouldn't feel like this today. listen to my heart, I wouldn't feel like this today. Walk the floor, there's nothing I can do. And it doesn't all good, 'cause something's got a hold on me. Something's got a hold on me. Sweet one, sweet one. I don't mean to take the lead, but it was already in sight. Can I be selfish? Can I confide? Doesn't all good, 'cause something's got a hold on me. Something's got a hold on me. It ain't what I want it to be. It ain't what I want.
Michelle with John Munson and the Witnesses.